Somewhere across the bifrost, way up high.
Welcome back to the latest episode of Across the Bifrost. My name is Sung Soo, and joining me in a moment is my dear co-host from across the pond, Pat Dunford. And today, we've got a list dojo, because Pat actually needs some help. I think he just says that to make myself feel better. But first, Pat, how you doing?
I'm doing very well, thank you, TT. And it's not just to make you feel better. Your help also makes me feel better. I appreciate these dojo sessions. We can refine our list together.
All right. So before we dive into the dojo, we've got a sleeve or heave it, right, Pat? And I've got a good one for you today. What do you think of Crew of the Milano, Pat?
Great question, and certainly preempts some conversation that we might have in this episode. So Crew of the Milano is an interesting card, right? It's had a pretty maligned history at MCP, wouldn't you say?
I would agree. Initially, yeah. It was just for Wingnut tokens.
Right. It's the kind of card that is super situational in that it protects you from special conditions. It protects the whole affiliated roster from special conditions per round, which is pretty cool. But when it came out, there were very few special conditions in the game. And I like it a lot more now with 10 slots. It's exactly the kind of card you want for your 10th slot, right? A card that situationally is powerful, but you don't intend to take it every game because you just don't have enough room in your 5 to have all 10 be taken every game. Do you think it makes the cut?
I do. I think you hit on one of the main points, which is our tactic selection has gotten larger. There are more special conditions in the game. And the thing I want to follow up on is there are a lot more crises now that are handing out special conditions, right? When Crew of the Milano came out, we were not getting many conditions at all from our crises. And now they are quite common.
Yes, you've got Mephist, you've got Terrigen Clouds, you've got Demons Downtown, just off the top of my head. So being able to remove those effects is pretty good. It's certainly a little bit of extra sugar on top of the card. I don't think I would take the cards with just the crisis in mind, though. I think you need to be expecting more conditions from your opponent to really get value out of it.
I think that's definitely fair. I think the other thing to keep in mind is a lot of the Guardians are more viable now, right? I mean, one of the things in Crew of the Milano is it only works on Guardians of the Galaxy characters, right? They remove special conditions and can't suffer them from around. So the fact that we have a larger repertoire of Guardians that are enticing, I do also think is a boon for this card. So I think this makes rosters for me, but I personally see it in like the 9th or 10th slot. Like, I don't think it's an amazing card. It's not a card I'm building a roster around. But if I look through my roster, I think I'm going to be playing Guardians a lot. I probably end up making room for this. What about you, Pat?
Yeah, I agree. One of the things I like about it is taking it as a specific anti-Web Warriors option. Web Warriors are a powerful team in this new world of rebalanced characters. They're perhaps one of the better, stronger affiliations out of the gates. And having a card that can turn off all webbed up, as well as Amazing Spider-Man's leadership, plus any other effects on top of that, like you said, from crises or from their characters, seems like quite a lot of value to me.
Yeah, I agree. So it sounds like we're both sleeving Guardians of the Galaxy's Crew of the Milano. And that brings up today's dojo, Pat, which is like, it's Guardians, right? That's what you want to work on?
Yeah, I want to work on Guardians of the Galaxy.
So we've done a couple different dojo episodes, and I think one of the important things is there are so many different like time periods for dojos. There are dojos where we never get to crisis because we're still like very roughly formulating out a roster of characters, right? There are times where all we talk about in the crisis are going to be the crisis because like we know what characters we want to do, or maybe we know 7 of the characters. The other 3 are going to depend on crisis. So where are you in this dojo before we start, Pat?
Yeah, great point, because there's lots of ways you can go, right, with any roster. And the Guardians have a pretty big list of affiliated characters. They've got some spicy options in there. I don't want to go for the spiciest options. This is not a super clever round one plays dojo. This is kind of like a fundamental meat and potatoes dojo. I'm interested in Guardians of the Galaxy because I like playing wide teams. I've enjoyed playing numerous teams with Avengers under Sam in the last season of TTS. And I think Guardians have the potential to play in a similar way, but with more damage output, at the expense of some amount of survivability, some amount of control. but I think they could work as a wide team that does a lot of damage first and foremost. And I also like that they have this option with their leadership to transform from a wide damage focused team into a narrow damage focused team. So if we're going from lots of characters to very few, they still leverage their leadership. They can still be damage focused, but I basically want to be making lots of attacks at people, either with a numerous squad or with very powerful characters.
Okay, and if for patrons, I know you could stay tuned. Last week we did kind of a Defenders Dojo, so it sounds like this one is going to be slightly more targeted than that one, Pat? Maybe a little more complete?
Yeah, I think so. So I could tell you what I've started with. I have some ideas for characters that I really like. I think there's things that could be changed, but I think the core characters are fine. Then when it comes to tactics cards, it starts to get a little bit ropey. And by the time you get to crisis cards, frankly, it's a shambles. And this is where I need your help, TT. Because one of the big hang-ups I have with Guardians is, like, I don't think they're particularly good at any of the crises. They're not bad at any of them. But I think that's something that we're going to need to spend more time discussing. So perhaps I'll start you off with the affiliated characters I went for. Obviously, you've got Star-Lord. His leadership is great. He's a very solid character now. Happy to play him in every single roster for a three-point leader.
He's amazing.
Yeah, he's always going to make the cut.
No gem though, right? We're just taking him as three.
No, absolutely no power gem. I just don't think it's worth. I think you don't get enough bang for your buck, and you get the added problem of having to then cram in a four-slot leader every time instead of a three cost.
Yeah, I definitely don't even think he's the best use for that gem in his affiliation.
Right. So I just think you never take the power gem with him, honestly. Maybe if you had a very specific plan, but like I said, I don't have specific turn one plans. I've got general plans, so I want that cheap leader. Then in terms of the core characters, I love Rocket. I love Nebula. I love that they create a 7-threat core of very high damage dealing characters, between all of them having good energy attacks, good range, and access to Star-Lord's leadership. This, for me, is what sets Guardians apart as being the best wide team to do damage. You have this 7-threat core of super high damage. Once you've got past that core, though, the damage options start to get a lot more expensive, and the 3-threat options are not particularly good at doing damage, right? They're not bad, but they're not stellar. You've got, in 3-threat affiliated, you've got Groot and you've got Drax. Drax definitely has his moments with Vengeance, don't get me wrong. I made an 11 dice Titan killer attack the other day and it felt pretty good. But they're not primary damage dealers, right? They're the tough guys. I like having both of them, though, because you obviously, in all of your teams, you need characters to go and be brave and fight, stand on points, hold extracts, and they do that job really well. And then I think it just comes down to how many of the more premium Guardians do you want. Right now, I tentatively have Gamora and Angela as a 4-threat and a 5-threat option that are more damage-focused. Obviously, Angela opens up a lot of turn 1 play options, which is nice to have as just something you can choose to use if a situation presents itself. And I've shied away from Ronan and the Power Gem just because I don't think Ronan is fitting in my plan so well. And we're already up to 3, 4, 5, 7 affiliated characters that I've mentioned that I'm trying out. But, I mean, I can see an option for Ronan, but he right now is the 8th choice out of 8. And so right now is sitting on the sidelines.
Yeah, the way I approach rosters, this would actually be the point where I would move on to tactics and then crisis, right? From here, we can make competitive rosters almost everywhere. And I think nailing down the crisis would be next. And for me, Ronan is a crisis-specific answer, right? Do you agree with that?
Right. So you might pull him in if you really want to play like Legacy Virus or something.
Absolutely. So I guess that's where I would go. Do you have unaffiliated you are in love with already?
I do. I have two options, and this is where the roster diverges a little bit. I think if you want to take all of those affiliated characters, and you don't necessarily have to, then your roster could go one of two ways. I have been loving the super wide option where I take a third 2-threat character. The one I've been using is Bullseye because after Nebula and Rocket, he does the most damage. And then I've added Winter Soldier, who is a good range character who loves the rerolls from Star Wars leadership because he's got a power equals to damage builder that has 2 triggers on it. So the rerolls are just fantastic for him, getting one or both triggers and increasing his power gain. And of course, he triggers his Got Your Back effect when my fragile damage dealers get taken out. Speaking of which, the pièce de résistance for this team has been Ghost Rider. And I think this is the best Ghost Rider team. And what I love about this squad is I can play six wide at 17th threat with Ghost Rider. I can have Star-Lord, Rocket, Nebula, Bullseye, Ghost Rider, and either Drax or Groot. And I have seven characters with really good damage output who are also then fueling up Ghost Rider. I suppose I could add Winter Soldier also can be a ranged damage option over Drax and Groot because he's a rogue agent. So I've really enjoyed this team as a ride damage focus team, and I think it's a fantastic way of doing damage and punishing your opponent for doing damage.
So we have a full 10 characters, and just to recap, we have Star-Lord at 3. We have Rocket and Groot, the dynamic duo, deadly duo, excuse me. We have Drax, Nebula, Gamora, Angela, Ghost Rider, Bullseye, and Bucky Barnes.
Yeah. There's two problems with this character selection. The first is I've built it purely with character synergies in mind, with no heed to crisis or tactics cards. And the second is that it doesn't let me do the wide option very well, because Ghost Rider is not that hot when he's in a narrower team. So I said I'd like maybe to switch from wide to narrow. It's great in wide. Sorry for not being clear there. But it's not the best narrow team. Angela is fine as a narrow option. Ghost Rider, not so much. So maybe I'd like one more expensive character as an option if I wanted to have fewer characters on the table.
Okay, do we want to talk more about characters, or do you want to jump over to tactics now, Pat? Where are you?
No, let's jump over. Let's talk about tactics. We can circle back to characters.
All right, so what are you at for tactics card? Do we have crew?
So, I think crew is good as a sideboard card, right? You don't plan to take it every game, but as we just discussed, you take it when you think it's going to be really valuable, when you think you're going to receive conditions for multiple sources across the game, and removing them is going to be important, and especially into Rogue Warriors. So I would have it in by 10, but I'm not expecting to play it most of the time. And of course, that puts a little bit more pressure on the other cards, but not a lot, because you've got 9 of the slots. Lovable Misfits is okay. It's an okay card. I think you can take it. I think it's situationally great. I think it's situationally rubbish. I think I'm still not sure if it's mainly for fun or if its average case is good enough to include. I could take it on.
I think we've covered the 9th and 10th cards of your team tactics roster. Like, if these cards make it in, they're making it in at 9 and 10. So let's go over the meat and potatoes.
I feel like Lovable Misfits isn't that card, though, right? Lovable Misfits isn't a situational card. It's a card that's always random and you aren't sure you're going to get.
So the best use ever for Lovable Misfits is when my opponent overthinks things and is like, but you have Lovable Misfits. You could do A, B, C, D, E, F, G. I'm like, you're right, I could. No idea what the card's going to do. Probably just going to stun all my characters.
Yeah, it's okay, so maybe on Lovable Misfits. I don't see this as a 9th card. I see this as a potential card. It could go in, it could stay out. And those are obviously the two affiliated cards. Not the hottest affiliated cards, that's for sure, but okay, they may maybe both get in there. For character-specific cards, Deadly Duo is fantastic. I love it. I think it's the reason why you take Groot over Drax most of the time. So you have access to it with Rocket, because Rocket is always in your team. And I'm very happy to take Deadly Duo. I don't think you necessarily play on every crisis map and against every opponent, but that's absolutely fine, right? If you could expect to reliably get 3 people in range of Rocket, then this card is outstanding. For other character-specific cards, there actually aren't that many in Guardians. I quite like We Are Groot, and I have it in there, but I'm not sure how well it synergizes with characters like Rocket and Nebula, who are so fragile, and Nebula in particular tends to go off and do her own thing. It's maybe good enough, but I haven't found yet a time where I want to take it over other universal cards. Aside from that, that really aren't that many character-specific cards. The one I've been playing with is Deal with the Devil.
Yeah, I was going to ask about Ghost Rider's cards, because I think those are obviously very powerful, right? And a large reason why we're considering the big fella.
Yes, and Ghost Rider, when you take him, is the centerpiece of your roster, and I think Deal with the Devil is the perfect card for him. Because Ghost Rider, he's tougher now, But with 3 physical defense, you can still choose to beat him up if you've got the right characters. He'll still fall over pretty fast to like 3 and 4 threat assassins. But Deal with the Devil really stops that. Ghost Rider wants to be in the middle of the enemy team so he can use Wicked's Judgment as much as possible, and he can use his range 2 and range 3 attacks as much as possible. It's very liberating to have this card sitting there and allow Ghost Rider to play very aggressively with less fear of repercussions. And I found a lot of people will choose to play around Deal with the Devil by not trying to kill Ghost Rider. But at that point, the card is creating so much value for you because it lets Ghost Rider act in such outrageous ways that normally you would be too afraid of the punishment that you'd incur from your opponent for doing, right? I've had Ghost Rider just drive into the middle of the enemy team at the end of round one and be like, here I am, you've got priority, do you want to attack Ghost Rider? And they're like, no, I guess I walk away from him. You know, those kind of things are worth the tactics card on their own. And the fact that Deal with the Devil, if you play around it, quote unquote, play around it by not attacking Ghost Rider, he gets that effect the entire game. It's way more valuable than any other tactics card in that circumstance.
Yeah, I think also, right, the Spirit of Vengeance change is really what enables this, right? You used to be able to ignore Ghost Rider, and his output was pretty... His output wasn't really on par with your other fives. But now, especially if you're going super wide, if you're ignoring Ghost Rider, he's still powering up, right? You're still eating double beam every round, random pennant stairs. He's hell on wheelsing all over the board. He's still being a very active and impactful character.
Yeah, he basically gets to hell on wheels every round of the game, sometimes even round one, but certainly every round after that, and probably use a builder and a spender of choice and still have power left over for Wicked's Judgment. His output now is really, really good. And he loves the Guardians rerolls because his consistency still is not that high. So having access to those 2 rerolls really helps ensure things like Pen and Stare work when you need them to.
Yeah, I can see that. So I am curious, No Highway to Hell, because I've really enjoyed that card every time I've gotten it on the table.
So maybe
especially if we're hell on wheelsing.
Yeah, so Highway to Hell. Let me just reread this one because I haven't looked at it for a little while. I know it's a good card. I know we were high on it way back in the days when we first reviewed it. It's reactive unaffiliated. When Ghost Rider begins an advance during his activation, he has to be within 1 of an enemy character, which is pretty short. He has to spend 3 power, which is a lot of power. But after he's ended his move, you place the enemy character within range 1 of him, and the enemy character suffers incinerate. So you move people a very long way. Now, if I remember correctly, this works with Hell on Wheels, right? Because that's an advance.
It does. Yeah. Hell on Wheels.
So that's the dream.
Correct. It is 6 power, I understand. Yeah.
Yeah, 6 power, but it does mean you get to place the character Wager on from Ghost Rider after a long move with Ghost Rider's big base, which is a huge distance. Now, the downside is Ghost Rider is still near them. And that could be good for you, but it might not be because you're not completely moving that character out of relevance because they've still got someone near them to fight, unless Ghost Rider is giving up his whole action to then drive away. Maybe you use it to pull people into you?
Yeah, I mean, there's a bunch of different ways we can look at leveraging this, right? If we're just looking at as like a control piece, as like an isolation, like, hey, go to the corner, you're in timeout, right? You hopefully start your activation next to the model. You hell on wheels them away. You advance back into the scrum, and then you still have an attack left over, right? That's your dream situation, right? Best case scenario. You just spent 6 power, functionally 1 action, and you've moved a character really, really far, right? Now, it's a 5-point character doing this, yes, right?
And it's a tactics card, right? A 6-cost, 1-action-cost tactics card is the most expensive tactics card in the game.
Right, but so it really depends on the value of the character that you're sending off to the ether, in my opinion, right? If I'm going against a high expensive team, if we end up with a new Time Gem Thanos over there, if there's a Dormammu, if we end up with a She-Hulk or someone where I can just stick them in the corner and it buys me a valuable time, then I like the card. Now, into the mirror match, let's say, I'm not going to like the card. I don't want to drag Rocket off into the corner, right? I don't want to pull Drax into the corner or something like that. So for me, this is another one of those fringe cards. And it's probably fighting with, you know, Lovable Misfits and Crew of the Milano to see if it makes the roster. I have liked it. I will 100% admit that the biggest issue for me is that range one.
Yeah.
It's just, it's a very short range, and there's really no other reason for Ghost Rider to be that close to people.
Right. Having said that, with his big bass and his Head on Wheels moves, maybe he has the luxury to just get that close sometimes. Like maybe you can just start to create the good practice of, okay, I'll move Ghost Rider within one of the target and attack them so that next turn I have the option to Head on Wheels if it presents itself. I think if you play with it in mind, you can definitely use it. And I really like your point of having it as a card specifically to move big guys, right? To deal with Juggernauts and Magnetos and Hulks and whatnot. I think that's a great point. So I'm all in for this card as a ninth slot or an eighth slot, not to be used in every game, but to be used situationally. I think Deal with the Devil, you use it every game. And I think this card you just use when you have the right target on the opponent's roster.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you there. So Deal with the Devil's in. We've got Highway to Hell that's kind of on the outskirts. And we haven't talked about your B&R card. So what did you end up taking off the list there? So I have to – you love Bitter Rivals, don't you?
I do love Bitter Rivals. And I think Bitter Rivals is very good with wide damage focused teams. Wholeheartedly. Yeah, it's not good in every crisis, but it's good in enough. And I don't think the Guardians particularly need the healing because a lot of their characters, like I said, are fragile and you can't rely on healing them. And you have We Are Groot as a replacement healing card if you really want one. And you're definitely not the kind of team that wants to stack them up. So I think you don't need Med Pack or Patch Up. Brace is okay. It's never a bad card. But I think Field Dressing is the card that's very good with Guardians characters. It's great with Groot, who can then heal himself. It's great with Drax, who is then at maximum damage taken for Titan Killer and Vengeance. You're never sad to have Field Dressing at any wide damage focused team, right? Where you can easily use it to get another action, another activation on a character is kind of good enough no matter who you're bringing back.
Yeah, I like it as a safety net too, like you said. It doesn't take a high variance for one of your characters to go straight to daze. Mm-hmm. And it just gives you that kind of nice buffer. Okay, I did want to get some work done with this character beforehand. So yeah, I like the inclusion of Field Dressing. So then we've got Deadly Duo, tentatively We Are Groot, Deal with the Devil, Bitter Rivals, and Field Dressing. So we have five for sures. We have three cards that are kind of maybes, right? We have Crew of the Milano, Lovable Misfits, and Highway to Hell. Does that sound right? So we definitely need a couple cards to kind of round this out.
Yes. There's a few universal cards that I like. I think the main ones I like are ones that help with damage. I've liked Blind Obsession.
Blind Obsession, I can see that for sure.
It's really good with Nebula, right? Where she gets to reroll those two extra dice. It's really good with Winter Soldier with his range 5 rapid fire. Great on him. It's actually really good on Ghost Rider because it also combos with Deal with the Devil. Where you're like, Ghost Rider is chasing you. He's whipping you with 8 dice attacks. Do you want to fight him back? And they're like, no, I don't want to beat up Ghost Rider. He's just going to kill stupid Rocket. So I think it has a lot of good homes in this team, but I'm always happy to include it in by 5.
Okay, I can see that one. What else did you end up taking in here? Do you take a movement thing? Do we have tactical analysis or field or extreme conditioning, climbing gear?
I didn't take a movement thing. I think you could make an argument for it. The reason I didn't is because Ghost Rider already has his movement thing, and the other Guardians generally, they don't really benefit from it that much. Like Drax and Groot would like to be able to pay for a movement thing, but they can't. It doesn't matter. Like, and by the time they can, they're not really valuable enough characters that it's worth using it on. It's not bad on Angela, but it's not necessary. Ghost Rider is the same. It's fine on him, but it's not necessary. They're both hyper-fast characters. So I guess what I'm saying is because you've got a bunch of expendable cheap characters with good range and you've got really already fast 5 threats, you just don't need it so much, you know? Climbing gear is at its best on characters like Magneto, where you're giving them a whole extra action and it doesn't really feel like it's worth an action for this roster. What I have liked is Marked for Death. Because this team is trying to shoot people with lasers, being able to remove stealth for all these long-range people and some extra defensive options as well by stopping dice modification has actually been a pretty good extra damage dealing card.
I think it's a great inclusion. I wouldn't have thought of that, but now that you've explained it, I can definitely see that, yeah.
Yeah, and I suppose you could even try and set up the super cute combo of marking someone for death and then driving them down the highway to hell. And so they're slow and so far away, but this just seems like a lot of effort. But yeah, so I like Mark for Death as another universal damage increasing card that, once again, you don't always play, but when you have targets, it's really nice.
What about PSD, a card we talked about previously? I like it in theory if Ghost Rider is in the middle of this wide team, I like him spending for PSD.
To protect them or just so that he can't be moved away?
So he can't be moved away and the tertiary benefit of protecting other people.
Yeah, I don't mind it. I don't... Like, he's already got four Mystic and he doesn't really want to be attacked so much. So I think the protection for him personally is not that valuable. Same is true for Angela. I think it's okay. I don't think it's as good as it is in, say, Avengers, where we talked about it in the past. Mm-hmm. I think you could include it, but I'm not clamoring to fit it in. I'm happy to cut it. Do you think I'm wrong there?
No, I'm just working through things. I don't think you're wrong. I think my biggest fear is them controlling Ghost Rider by just moving him around, right? Ideally, I want to be using the Hell on Wheels the way I want to, not to make up for like a control effect.
Yeah. I'll make one more honorable mention here for your consideration is Smash. Smashes, destroy terrain smaller than you, get extra dice. The reason why this is worthy of consideration, and it's pretty corner case, is once again Ghost Rider. Ghost Rider has a beam.
Just because of the beam.
It's a size 3 model, and your team, like the Guardians, are rubbish at throwing terrain. Right? They've got Drax. That's it. Angela, I guess, if you're playing Angela, but you're not usually playing Angela and Ghost Rider in the same team. What I have found is if you are playing Ghost Rider, you don't really have many ways to interact with terrain. And with your big base, it's quite easy to trigger Smash. Is it worth it? Maybe not, right? Maybe two extra dice on Ghost Rider's two beams is not good enough. Maybe you don't have enough power to do that, or it's just too corner case of play. But I think it's kind of cute. I've experimented with it. I like it. It's probably not good enough. Maybe it is.
What do you think about Unearthly Rage instead of Smash?
Ooh, remind me, which one's Unearthly Rage?
Unaffiliated active during character's activation may spend 2 power to play this card. If the character is within 2 of 2 or more enemy characters making its next attack, it adds 2 dice to the attack roll. So not for the entire activation, obviously, just for the next attack. The 2 or more enemy characters, there's a lot of qualifying text, but if we're only ever using it for a size 2.
Okay, you've sold me off of Smash by comparing it to Unearthly Rage. I think those cards that only, like, spend a tactics card for 2 more dice of damage aren't good enough. And you're right, Smash is too often going to be that.
I mean, Smash, theoretically, because it's... I mean, theoretically, Smash is going to be between 4 and 8 dice, right? Because you're going to Smash for 2 extra dice per attack, and you're hoping to beam 2 people twice, right?
Yeah.
So, I understand the theoretical of it, I just...
It's a very corner case. It's a very weird situation, right? And especially because his beam costs power, it's just not reliable enough for it to come up. So let's cut Smash. Easy.
Okay.
So that already, though, that gives us quite a lot of options, right? And we could change them out. There's probably some cards I've overlooked here in the conversation. We've got our 2 BNR cards with Field Dressing and Bitter Rivals. We've got a fair number of character-specific cards and affiliated cards. And then we're adding to that Blind Obsession and Mark for Death.
Yeah, so right now, Deadly Duo, We Are Groot, Deal with the Devil, Bitter Rivals, Field Dressing, Blind Obsession, Mark for Death. So that's 7 cards that you love. And then we have 3 cards kind of penciled in, Highway to Hell, Lovable Mifits, Crew of the Milano. Obviously, those are kind of mutable. You can kind of cycle them in and out. I think if you haven't played Warpath on Ghost Rider, I would encourage you to try it. I've really, really liked that card on him.
Ooh.
I think it's a lot of fun. And if you want to get in range 1 for Highway to Hell, I think it's a creative way to do it.
I tell you what, Warpath also seems like it would be great on Drax, right?
That absolutely. Ability. Nebula too.
Yeah, yeah. Drax in particular with Vengeance, right? It might allow him to double attack during his activation, get a big Vengeance hit plus something else.
I've never done it with Gamora, but I mean, Gamora likes smacking people.
Should be fine, right, with Gamora. Even get her into range to Martial Prowess, a second attack. Yep. There's a new card on the block that we haven't talked about yet on the pod. but that's Indomitable, and that might find a spot. So I think there's options there for that last spot. I'm pretty happy with that tactics card selection. Mainly damage focused, but good.
Yeah, not normally how I think of you playing the game, but I think it'll be an interesting one. Indomitable being a... Yeah, I like Indomitable, especially since we don't have Brace. So, good card.
Yeah. Indomitable is a bit like Psychic Shielding Device. It's a way to stop Ghost Rider being thrown out of position.
Yeah, it's not thrown or pushed, right? If I remember correctly from Indomitable. Mm-hmm. Cost two? Is it two? It's not three, right? Okay.
No, it's two.
All right, so we've got that. So, I got a couple questions, Pat, before we get to... Do you have any Crisis you like?
Yes, I've got Crisis I like. Like, one of the things I think is awkward for Guardians is because their core are, like, fragile murder machines, one of whom literally can't interact with any crises. Like, the core does not present itself as being good on crises, right? And because I personally always like taking that core, makes it hard then for your team to obviously be good at things, right? It's not like you're Wakanda and you're like, oh, Black Panther and Shuri, guess I'm good at secures.
Let's circle back to my question then. So we just went over the Crisis. I'm going to name the characters one more time. Star-Lord, Rocket, Groot, Nebula, Drax, Gamora, Angela, Ghost Rider, Bullseye, and Bucky Barnes. So, Pat, what does this roster excel at?
Okay, this roster excels at doing damage and being resilient through it, right? It's going to dish out lots and lots of damage over the course of the rounds, and it can take a lot of damage, and it can punish you for damaging it. So it's very good at straight up fighting. However, it has very little displacement. Like Bucky's Spender, Drax's Throw and Headbutt.
Groot.
Like, not a lot of displacement at all, right? In particular, its five threats have no displacement, which is very unusual. Yeah. It's got good ranges. It's got good dice fixing with the leadership. It's got good speed on its expensive characters. So it's hard to avoid fighting it, but it can't do much if it isn't winning with dice, right? Now, what it can do, I suppose, is have more characters than you. So if it can't displace you, it could try and stay even or ahead on secures that way. And the same for extracts. You know, if it's got lots of characters, it can have people like Groot and Drax just be the workhorses that go and grab the points, stand on the secures, holding the spider infected or whatever it might be, and just that's their life for the whole game while everyone else shoots laser guns. But it definitely doesn't have any obvious strong scenario options.
All right, so where does your gut go with this? Do we want faster scenarios or do we want slower ones?
I think faster ones are not as bad as you might think because you've got the numbers.
Just the weight of volume, yeah.
Yeah, so things like the F maps, secure and extracts, are okay when you have so many characters. They're probably not the number one thing to go for, but when you consider you also have access to Angela, they could be an option. The slower crises are probably a more sensible choice. Something like Demons Downtown is not especially good for your team, but it's not bad. You know, you don't really care if Rocket is incinerated, especially when Groot is taking the shots for him. Ghost Rider was immune to incinerate. And that's basically your entire commitment for that scenario in terms of characters standing on it. That's okay. So probably you do want the slower secures.
I think you make really good use out of your opponent's incinerate too, because you are just peppering people with like five dice attacks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you know, them just being incinerated just gives you additional value there. Okay, so we like...
Plus you got Crew of the Milano, so that's another tidy bonus for Demons. I think Demons is probably the way to go. One of the things I like about Demons is in addition to it being slow, it's on an E-map layout, which means I can use my range, right? I can have characters stand back and be crisis relevant. Whereas some of the other slower crises, like Seal's Collapse, which is also 19 threat, is on C. And that means that characters like Star-Lord and Rocket have to get into the thick of the action if they ever want to be crisis relevant, which is not ideal.
So this does circle back to what we talked about in our crisis episode recently, Pat. So we've got one secure. Now, do we want all of our secures to be similar, or do we want to just go with like, are we some lovable misfits of secures here?
Yeah, it's not easy with them. Last time I played, I actually went for two pay to flips in addition to Demons. just because I was like, well, I don't think I'm good at any of these prices. But I know a lot of teams don't like pay to flip. So if I'm going to be bad at it, then I'm going to make my opponent bad at it too. Now, that's maybe kind of a silly way of approaching it. The pay to flips I wrote for, Mutant Madman, you have Groot, who's a 4 threat, so you can take it every team. Rocket, sorry, 4 stab, 4 physical resistance. Rocket only has 2, but Star-Lord is 3, Gamora is 3, it's okay. Angela is good on all the pay to flips. And then I went for Spider Portals, where Angela and Ghost Rider are good and everyone else is kind of okay. Groot is not great. Basically, they're not that good at pay to flips either. This is where I'm going with this. And this is where I'm a bit stuck.
Yeah, I would not... that surprises me, and I'm not saying that's wrong. It's a surprise to me. So I'm going to throw a newer one out there at you, Pat, that I think would be interesting. What do you think of Superpowered Scoundrels from Sinister Syndicate?
I think it could be fine. I like that I can take the corner points of the F and shoot my guns into the middle or to the opposite corner point. I don't mind sending Drax or Groot or Ghost Rider into the center. I'm a little bit concerned that other teams use it better than me. But actually, probably not to such a huge degree that it's problematic.
To me, it's an interesting one, right? I think you can secure your 2 pretty easily, right? I think you have enough long-range firepower that you get to ignore the cover tokens because you should have the ability to attack from yours to the middle, if I remember correctly.
That's not how it works. You get cover unless you're in the same one. So long-range firepower, basically, they always get cover against you, which is not what you want with Star-Lord and Rocket.
Oh, you're right. It's the same token. It's not any token. Yeah. Okay, I don't like this one anymore. Scrap it. Moving on.
Okay, so what other secures have you got for me?
Now I got to think.
One option that I think we could consider here is we could go for Mephisk and Terrigen. We got all of the secures that give you status effects. Crew of the Milano looking great. And more importantly, these are ones where I can split my team in half and have 3 characters or 4 characters go on either side and feel fine fighting that in that way. They're not ideal for Ghost Rider. Ghost Rider would prefer the more central crisis. Like, he loves Steven's Downtown, right? Steven is his box. But I've had good success playing these where I send like Groot onto one, Drax onto the other, and then everyone else in the team just murders any opponent that goes and tries to contest.
Yeah, I'm just working through my head here. It feels to me like you are playing a better than average fair team. So there's no crisis that's just going to be like, oh, you know what? That crisis is amazing.
Yeah.
I think they're all just going to be like, yeah, okay. And I think this might be one where you just we talked in the crisis episode. I think this is one where, like you said about superpowered syndicates or scoundrels, we just don't want to give up an advantage here, right? Mm-hmm. Like, do I think you could play Infinity Formula fine? Yes. Do I think there are teams that are going to play way better than you? Absolutely, right? So we don't want to put Infinity Formula down, right? So the more I think about it, I don't mind the weird pay-to-flip plan. You can just put a lot of bodies on things and make them hard to flip.
Yeah, it's not the best, though, is it? Let's be honest. It's
no,
like,
but just... what's better, Pat? That's kind of where I'm going here.
Yeah, the characters just aren't cut out for winning victory points, right? It's just not what... Star-Lord, Nebula, and Groot do. Or Rocket, sorry. And obviously, we could make a Guardians team that's a bit more focused on victory points, right? Our unaffiliated slots could have different characters. We could consider Rhoda with the Power Gem for some spicy turbo players. We could plan to play Angela over Ghost Rhoda more often. Like, there's things we could do. But with my plan built around character synergy, crises are just not that hot.
All right, let's just go through them. Let's just go through them. We're going to go through via setup, right? I don't think we want to be playing Infinity Formula. I think Web Warriors is just going to wreck you on that. Do you agree?
I mean, I think you're right, but I also think that if you're not playing against Web Warriors, it might be one of the better map layouts for Guardians.
I think that's fair. I just think you have to plan on seeing a lot of Web Warriors and us not... It's just going to feel real bad if we get into Web Warriors and we put out Infinity Formula, right?
Yeah. I think so, by that logic, though, isn't that basically just removing every like high school insecure?
Yep.
Or at least sure also is. Removing Superpowered Syndicate.
Mm-hmm. So you ended up with Parks, right? Mutant Madman. Mm-hmm. Don't hate it.
I don't like it.
Okay, what do we think of Meteors? Meteors is an interesting one.
Ghost Rider and Angela are good on Meteors. Angela is superb on Meteors. Being able to do a wide team that has Angela activate last and flip two Meteors is a very strong round one play. So I think it has potential.
We could do the same thing with Ghost Rider, right?
He's not. If he's got a huge amount of power, but not natively, the problem is
he needs five power, right?
Base, he can't get there straight away.
Interact, so, yeah, tell on wheels, interact, right? Five.
He would need to have generated four power from enemy attacks in round one, which is a bit more than he can realistically get.
That's fair.
So I think you probably are taking Angela over Ghost Rider or that. The problem with Guardians with Meteors is look at your affiliated characters. Star-Lord doesn't want to be on the center line. He can do it, and it's acceptable, right? But he gets like a passing grade. Rocket gets like a D. He doesn't want to be near them. He gets an F, maybe? A D? He's really bad. He doesn't want to be near them, and he's got two energy, right? He'd give him an F. Nebula can't interact with them. She gets an F. Groot is slow and has two energy. He gets like a D because he wants to be standing there, but he just can't do much when he's there. And then you've got Drax, who's a medium mover with three energy. Congratulations, Drax, you get a C, right? So you've got like two C-level characters and everyone else worse, and then Angela. So you're not really that... The affiliated characters are really bad at this, except for Angela.
Do you think it's viable to flood the map and change it? Like, could you put five characters on the East Point, one character in the middle, and end up trying to play North-South, or left to right instead of North-South?
Potentially, yeah. Potentially you could. I mean, obviously you always incur some risk doing that, but you incur some risk no matter what. And at least you have characters like Andrew and Ghost Rider who can go hyperspeed mode and fix a problem later in the game if you do need to get the third one.
All right, let's keep going. We have intrusions open across city. So to me, the reason we take this is we're also going to take Lovable Misfits, and we are just going to have the most random game ever. Okay, we don't like this one. That's fair. We have Mayor Fisk.
It's okay. I played it with them. It's fine. It has similar problems, like, but it's okay. Like, Drax is fine on it. Groot is fine on it. Having these slower characters are way better on this one, right? Because they can teleport around. Tough characters who are slow get better. So Drax and Groot get better. I think it's acceptable, but I'm not in love with it.
Yeah, but to your point, right, there's still a bunch of characters who just don't want to be up in that center line, right?
Yeah, it's also, by the way, really sad for Nebula. She's not allowed to interact and teleport. Ooh.
Fair. So we have Mayor Fisk. We talked about Mayor Fisk a little bit. We have Sword Base.
Sword Base is okay because it doesn't care about your terrible defenses for flipping and you've got lots of characters. I kind of prefer Sword Base to Deadly Meteors.
So the reason I like Sword Base is I think it's really interesting for you to threaten a 14 where you have 20,000 ways to play 14 threat and your opponent probably has less.
Yes, you can even play a 5-threat character in Angela or Ghost Rider and still go 5-wide, which is pretty cool.
So I'm going to tentatively put Sword Base in. I don't hate it. Terrigen Cloud, fine.
Ghost Rider's immune to poison.
you're right. We have Cosmic Invasion Black. We have Black Order Portals.
It's worth thinking about it. Yeah, I think the D's are okay, right? You've got Black Order Portals, you've got Extremist Consoles. They're okay. I think if you play them, you're mainly trying to play the extract and you're trying to get two out of, you're trying to break even on the D's because you're not displacing. So the way you get ahead on the sides is by having more characters there than your opponents or scaring them away with your firepower, which means you have to have a lot of characters in that area. So I don't think you're getting ahead on it, but I think it's okay to have this option where you can stay even on it and try and get ahead on the extract.
Okay, so we don't hate Black Order Portals. Portals overrun with spider people, similar logic, just do we want to deal with the energy defense, right?
Yeah.
It is energy defense, isn't it?
It is energy defense. Rocket and Groot make this a bit sad, but you could do it.
Extremis is an interesting one.
It's the same as Cosmic, in my opinion. I would probably go for Extremis over Cosmic Portals because that gives me the option of going six wide with either Angela or Ghost Rider, which I think is the perfect team. The 17 threat team I love for Guardians. So I would pick Extremis over Black Order Portals just for the extra threat.
Just for the threat? Okay, fair enough, fair enough. We have Gamma Wave.
They can play it. They can go. They can have lots of damage dealers. Ghost Rider is amazing at Gamma Wave, right? He wants to be central. And they can play a damage-focused Gamma team that just tries not to lose too quickly. Like, it's playable for them.
Gamma's just so fast, and not having any way to move people worries me.
You've got Drax?
Right.
Good old Drax.
That's my biggest fear with Gamma. It's just like, they're going to be able to do shenanigans, and we just have to brawl them off points. So it seems to me like they are going to more consistently score points, right? They're going to more consistently push and throw, and we are still going to have to roll dice in order to get our movement, which is just KOing people. But we do have a lot of bodies.
Maybe I just need to cut Winter Soldier and get someone that can have some movement effects.
Well, I do have questions about your threes, but we'll get back to that later. And then we kind of said superpowered scams, right? So tentatively, though, Pat, I think I like Demon, Sword Base, and Extremis.
Okay, I think I like those or Gamma as a fourth option.
I'm happy to circle back to Gamma. I think we would have to change out two characters, in my opinion.
Okay.
But I think there's plenty of characters there. Okay, so now we need some extracts.
Yes, we need extracts is easier because you have really good mobility with Angela, Ghost Rider, Star-Lord's Hit and Run, and you have lots of characters. So I feel like their extract game is way better than their secure game.
Okay, so what's your favorite?
I like Hammers because you've got characters who you're happy to advance up and get Hammers and take damage in Groot and Drax, who then turn on Ghost Rider. Ghost Rider himself can start in the middle, immediately pick up a hammer, and then drive off and smack people. If you get priority, you can have Angela steal a hammer, if that's something you're into, and retreat back. So I think Hammers is a fine option for them. I also am happy with the F extracts. I know a lot of people don't like them in this scary new world where your opponent might with priority and make you pick one, but I think it's okay. I think they're good at forcing conflict to damage because one moves characters into range of your guns and the other one damages the opponent, and that helps offset any early advantage. So I'd be happy with either Spider Infected or Cosmic Cubes.
And those are both at threat values you really like too. You said you were high in the 17 value.
Yes, I also think that the single priority extracts, your alien ship, your Skrulls, your senators, are absolutely fine for this team. Even though they don't have anyone that steals extracts, they're very good at killing the person that has them.
Yeah, I was going to bring up Skrulls because you specifically said you're like 17. We're a brawly team, so we don't mind slowing it down. So we don't have to be the ones interacting with the Skrull, right? We can play for this 2-2 split on whatever secure we're putting out there and then make them kind of go for the extraction, right? So I kind of like Skrulls.
Yes, I don't mind Skrulls. It's not my favorite one to play personally, but I think it's absolutely fine for this team. And then, I mean, I wouldn't go for any of the really weird ones. I wouldn't go for like Wakandan Herb or Legacy Virus because you run the risk of running into people who are really good at this and you are not. By the way, that makes me think that maybe Mission Objective should be in the Team Tactics cards as a counterplay for Legacy Virus. But aside from that, I would be content with most. I would be willing to play Montesi Formula, although I don't think it's the best choice for the team.
I don't like handing out a beam if I'm going five or six wide.
Yeah. So I'd be willing to play Research Station, force the fight in the middle, and just, it's kind of like Gamma. It's a little bit risky, but if everyone is in the middle, that's where my team could do the most damage and get the most out of Ghost Rider. So I think you could absolutely do Research Station as well.
Yeah, I don't hate Senators either. I know you said you were okay with Senators. I like that being kind of that jammed 14. What do you think of Wakandan Herb?
I think my team is terrible at scoring the Herb.
Correct. I think you just don't score, right?
And I think in the new world, it's a little bit risky that some teams can score it and then it's too dangerous. But I don't hate it. I'd absolutely be willing to play it.
Okay. I mean, I understand the fear of them scoring it. To me, you just have enough damage and late activations that you should be able to blitz down someone right before the trick works.
Yes. That's true. You also, I mean, Ghost Rider is probably good in that crisis, right? Where he actually could take the herb and drive around with it. Or he could massively displace the opposing herb carrier if necessary.
Yeah, Highway to Hell is just they're just not scoring it after that, right? That's such a huge movement.
Yeah, that's pretty brutal. So I think herb would be fine.
All right, so you like Hammers and Spider Infected, and then it sounds like we're kind of searching for one more, and we've got a couple different options there, right? We could go Skrulls, we could go Wakandan Herb, we can go Senators. I think I'd lean towards Senators, but I'm curious which way you're leaning, Pat.
I think if it's a bit weird, though, isn't it? If we like Skrulls and we like Spider Infected, isn't it just better to decide which we like more and then double down on that kind of extract? So basically taking Spiders and Cubes, which are functionally the same crisis, or taking Skrulls and Alien Ship, which are functionally the same crisis. Don't we take two of the same?
We could. I mean, we talked about this in the crisis episode, right? I do think there is some power in having the variability there. Also, like, how much do you like 20 threat?
It's 7 wide. It's okay. What's your 20 threat team? Okay, you got Star-Lord, Rocket, Groot, Nebula is 10. So you can go 6 wide with both Angela and Ghost Rider.
Or you can go
7
Bullseye
wide with, say, Drax or Winter Soldier plus Bullseye and Ghost Rider or Angela.
I kind of would like to play that.
Can you go 8 wide? No. What's your... Okay, so we got Rocket, Nebula, Bullseye. That's 6.
Yep.
Star-Lord, Groot, Drax. That's 9.
Yep, so that's 15.
That's 15. We don't have a 3 and a 2, though, do we? We've got Gamora, who maybe should just get cut because I'm never finding a home for her. We've got Gamora, Ghost Rider, Angela, and another character I'm forgetting.
I don't think you named Bucky.
Winter Soldier, right. So we could do, if we had a fourth two-threat character, we could go 8 wide, but forget it. Toad?
I like Toad.
I like Toad.
Yeah, Okoye is still really good too.
Yeah, she is. And she has good synergy with Ghost Rider.
Yeah. If we're going to play Wakanda and Herb, I don't mind Toad being in there either. He can do some tricky stuff.
Yeah, and he gives me some turn one options for other crises.
All right, so we like Hammers, we like Spider Infected. Pat raises an interesting point. Do we want to double down? In which case we're like, okay, I'm going to go Spider Infected Struggle, or we're going to go Alien Ships and Skrulls. Mm-hmm. I don't think either of those are wrong ways to go. To me, you're still feeling out the list. I wouldn't double down because I just want to play the roster on as many different things as possible. And then when you're getting to the point of your next big league or a big London event or something, then I would probably double down it. So for testing purposes, I think I would rather go Hammer, Spider Infected, Skrulls, and then we can kind of pivot from there
and decide what actually works out better. Very good. Well,
I do have a couple roster questions, and you hit on one of them, which is when the hell do we ever take Gamora?
Mm-hmm.
And is it possible that we have too many three threat characters?
Too many? We've got 4. Isn't that a pretty normal number?
I'm just asking the question.
I mean, I've got 3 2s and 2 5s, and you think the 4 3s is the weird thing?
I like the 2s. I think the 2s is great.
Yeah, the 2s are great.
I love the 2s. And I think because of the 2s, because we're running 3 2s, that's why we don't need the affiliated 4.
Okay. Yeah, I agree. Because you basically almost always rather have 2 2s than the 4.
Correct.
Yeah.
That's my big issue with Gamora still. But anyway, okay, so we're axing Gamora. Gamora, goodbye.
Okay. That so we does have free up a valuable spot.
We have the spicy meatball of another 2, which I
4th 2
wholeheartedly support. Or I think we take a look at, are you actually playing Bucky enough to warrant Bucky's inclusion?
So look, if I have a 4th 2, I could go 6 wide at 14th threat.
I like that a lot.
That's pretty cool. Then instead of Skrulls, we could take Mutant Senators. We're already taking Sword Base, perhaps.
I like that. I like swapping Skrulls for Senators. And then we're running Demon, Sword Base, and Extremists, because you said you like Extremists. Hammers, Spider Infected, and Senators.
Yeah, Demon, Sword Base plus one. I don't know if Extremists is it, but it'll be okay.
Right, and you're just threatening just so wide.
So wide. I mean, you could play Gamma and go six wide on Gamma.
With no displacement effects? We're just throwing bodies at people?
You've got the Wild Push on Toad.
Yeah, Toad has a lick, of course.
You could take Drax as your other three with his headbutt.
Pat said that with a straight face for everyone that can't physically see him. I like adding Toad. Is there another contending character that we're thinking about adding here?
So I don't think you want Wong. I don't think he has any synergy with the team.
He has no synergy anywhere.
But you could consider Black Widow, but she's whatever. You could consider Okoye. I don't think Okoye is at her best in this team, but she's not the worst. I think probably it is Toad.
I think it's Toad.
The Incinerate on Toad is useful.
I like Incinerate a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So, are we ever using Bucky's Rogue Agent?
Ooh. What about Bob?
Just to really double down the damage that we're kind of tossing out there?
And the silly nonsense theme that is Guardians. There's a lot of silly nonsense on one character card.
I will not argue with either of the points you just made. Do you actually enjoy playing Bob?
No, not really. Let's go for
it. Okay, cool. Enough said. Is Bucky a valuable member of this team?
I think he's superb, but I'm still willing to cut him.
Okay. I'm just going to throw this out there as an alternative. What do you think of Beast?
Ooh, why Beast?
He has a throw.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a big chunky base, and he's another kind of brawling character I can stick in the middle if I don't want to end up taking Drax. If I do end up taking Drax, I can go Drax Beast and still have a solid core where you have like a lot of squishy damage deals that kind of orbit around them. Just gives me another option who isn't Drax or Groot for some flexibility.
And I might prefer Lizard over Beast for that role. But
I mean, I love Lizard. I like Beast because he's durable, and he's got a pretty good throw on him. Lizard certainly has a decent throw as well. I don't remember the name of it, but I think it's just a size 3 throw that costs 3, right?
Yeah, the thing is, neither of them in this team are throwing on turn 1. So I like the extra resilience of Lizard, but I go for some character in that space. I don't necessarily mind who it is at this point. Definitely could be a useful flex option. I think Winter Soldier has amazing synergy in this roster, and he loves the leadership, but the leadership can only go on so many characters, and he's a bit redundant if you consider that you're always taking Rocket and Star-Lord, and they're already ranged attackers that can use the leadership instead, that stand in similar places at the table as he does. So although I love him, I'd be willing to cut him. I think you can't afford to cut Drax and Groot because they're your two models that can actually take damage and need to be in relevant places on the table.
And they both have the affiliated tag, right? So real quick, we'll run through the roster. We can't cut Star-Lord. We love Rocket and Groot, so we're not cutting them. Nebula's a beast. Drax for the affiliated. Angel and Ghost Rider, I think, is a really, really enticing package up top.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get... So theoretically, Bullseye, Toad, or Bucky are the models we theoretically could cut. Bullseye and Toad are in there as kind of a combo because we want to be able to go super, super wide.
Yeah.
So if we make a cut, it's Bucky. And don't get me wrong, I really like new Bucky. I really want a throw. And again, Beast just having a two-costing throw is just more enticing to me than Lizard having a three.
I mean, Bucky has a four-cost push, so he can move characters, but yeah, not exactly the most efficient.
Yes, all the things you said are true. Is there another three we're missing?
I mean, there's tons. Valkyrie. Loves the dice fixing. She's a sweet Asgardian. Stop poo-pooing Valkyrie. She's great.
I know she's great. I just don't want to play her anymore.
Kind of like playing Asgardians in Guardians, though. It feels kind of thematic to me to play Asgardians of the Galaxy. So that gets like a slight little bonus plus.
Oh, okay. Valkyrie. Okay, that's fair.
What about just someone like... Ghost Spider.
I mean, you love Ghost Spider. I like Ghost Spider as well, to be clear. I mean, she's just a really good character, right? Let's just be honest.
Yes, but I don't think she's especially fitting well at this team.
No, it wouldn't take much to convince me to take Iron Fist. I realize he does not solve the problem I just talked about, but if you just want to maximize the amount of damage you put out. Iron Fist is freaking scary.
Yeah, I'm never going to complain about taking Iron Fist or Luke Cage with Heroes for Hire.
That was the other one I was going to mention is Luke. I also like, I really like Hood the more I've played him.
Mm. Yeah, I think there's a lot of threes who you could take because they're good characters that have great cards, right? Yeah. I think Mystique, Hood, Mysterio, the Heroes for Hire, all of these characters would actually be fine in the team. Hood's gang is probably quite good in the Guardians team.
I was about to say, Hood's gang's amazing.
Yeah, I've had mixed success with it. It's not as good as it looks on paper, but I do think with this team it should be very good.
You're so wide.
Yeah, because you're wide, you don't mind so much if Hood's activating first, which is usually the problem with Hood's gang. You're like, well, I want to have a massive damage turn, but I don't want my first activation to be stupid Hood, right? And that's less of a problem. Also, his healing is quite cute, right? On Drax, on Groot, on Ghost Rider.
What do you think of Ms. Marvel?
So I like Ms. Marvel. The biggest problem I have with Ms. Marvel is she's slow to get started. And I'm worried that she's not going to contribute enough to Guardians' early damage output.
Mm.
One character I have been considering that I think is my personal choice to replace Winter Soldier is Corsair Iron Man with the Helios Laser.
Ooh.
I love me some Helios Laser. And look, Corsair Iron Man is tough. We don't have that many tough characters, right? He can go forward and stand on points. He's got a wild push. Guardians can help him be more reliable in actually making that push a thing, right? And with the Guardians rerolls, he can generate a bit more power and he can get to the point where he's doing 6 dice, reroll 2 attacks and very reliably pushing. And the Helios Laser in this wide team is actually really quite good. And I like the Helios Laser as a tech card for dealing with things like Skrulls and Senators. Where you're like, well, my answer to you picking up a senator is I'm going to do an orbital strike on that senator, and then I'm going to pick up his charred corpse.
And use and I have 7 characters that contribute power here, so it's going to be great.
Yeah, exactly. So I think Iron Man could be a way to, in a single character, tick a lot of these boxes.
I like that, and I think you have the core of a roster there, and you're just going to have to decide kind of what you want in that last one. I actually really like Iron Man and Helios. That's probably the way I'd lean. I still like Beast. It wouldn't take much to convince me to take either one of the Shrinkers. I think they can be an interesting addition as well.
Ant-Man is super fun.
And then, like, is it boring? Yeah, but, like, War Machine's just such a bloody good character, right? Yes, like, I just never feel bad putting War Machine on the table. I'm just like, I don't know. Physical attacks and a beam.
Yeah, and a lot of this could be meta considerations, right, depending on what you want. I will say that things are going to change a lot with the characters being taken. I tell you, like, the way that I was playing Steve Avengers last season hates facing Ghost Rider. Like, the idea of, like, beaming the whole team and taking damage every time you roll crits on characters you've brought back to life with field dressing who only have a single hit point, you know, it's just a disaster. So it'll be interesting to see what people are playing, and then you could slot in a character and maybe even a tactics card that goes with them depending on what you expect to see.
Yeah, but I think we've got a great starting point here for the list, Pat. I think we knocked off a couple rough edges of it. Just to recap, we've got Star-Lord, Rocket, Groot, Nebula, Drax, Angela, Ghost Rider, Bullseye, Toad, and then we have a slot that's up for grabs, but we're going to tentatively say Iron Man right now. Mm-hmm. We've probably lost Lovable Misfits. I think we have Crew of the Milano, maybe Highway to Hell, maybe Warpath. I like Helios Laser, though, right? Deadly Duo, We Are Groot, Deal with the Devil, Bitter Rivals, Field Dressing, Blind Obsession, Mark for Death. We have Demons Downtown, Sword Base, and Extremist Consoles. And then we have Hammers, Spider Infected, and Senders. I think that's a good roster, Pat.
I think it's cool. I mean, know for a fact that the crises will change over time, but as a starting point, I'm really excited to play this.
Awesome. Well, I can't wait to hear kind of how this has gone. Maybe we can do an after the credit scenes on it in the early parts of 2022 when you've gotten some more reps with it. Let us know what you think of the roster on Patreon. If you're interested in becoming a patron, you can check us out at patreon.com/acrossthebifrost. You get a bonus scene. It's called the after the credit scene. It's about a 15 to 30 minute episode we do each week. We hope you enjoy that. If you can't support the pod, we still love you. You can check out all of our work at acrossthebifrost.com, as well as the work of so many other contributors. We do want to sincerely thank each and every one of you for listening. It's coming up on that time of the year where it's kind of amazing how many people listen to the podcast. So we really do appreciate each and every one of you. So until next time, everyone, cheers and happy gaming.
Somewhere across the Bifrost, way up high. heard of once in a lullaby. Somewhere across the Bifrost skies are blue, and the dreams that you dare to dream really do come true.